let me bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. We say it often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good to get together. I know we have some visitors, some company with us today, so hope you received an outline or a bulletin when you came in. I ask my brethren to look around. If you see someone without one, if you'd like to share, or even these are in the foyer, you can very welcome to get up and go get one. Come back in. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson. I know there's been concern over my voice. It's been lasting for several months now. And I've been to the doctor, it seems like every week, sometimes twice a week, but they give me something, and then they say come back in 2 weeks, and so try something different, and the inhalers, the medicine, and things like that. I've had scans and x-rays, and go for another one this week, and they're going to look really inside this time, with one of those oscopies, so look forward to that. I had a friend, I use the word friend loosely. He said, Brian, try this. He said, wear a pair of socks day and night, whether you bathe in them, but then never take them off for any reason, no matter what you do, for 2 weeks. So then after 2 weeks, you can take those socks off and put them in a cup of water and let that sit overnight. See? And then the next morning, stir it. Then you can take the socks out and gargle with that water. I think just the thought of it cured my hoarseness. But all the recommendations and a home remedy, so I appreciate the interest. Like I said, there is an outline if you'd like to follow along. Words are taken from a phrase that Hosea used, thou hast destroyed thyself. Sometimes I look at this and I think I might title the lesson, Four Ways to Self-Destruct. It's not a how-to lesson on destroying your physical life. That's not the lesson of the sermon. But rather the emphasis is on the spiritual side of life. And this lesson is a warning. It's not a recommendation at all. We've heard the expression, he's his own worst enemy. He's his own worst enemy. Brings it on himself. And it means, you know, we create our own problems many times. We put ourselves in difficult situations. And we sometimes say, after something's happened, you know, I have only myself to blame. Yeah. Or I did that to myself. We say that. My fault. I've seen people in sports, if they've missed something or done something, they'll go to the show to the other team, you know, my bad. I did that. Or we sometimes say, look what I did. When I had to go before my dad after I did something wrong, the first words my dad would say, Brian, you know better than that. Yeah, the problem wasn't knowledge. Yeah, I knew better, but I didn't always do better. My fault. My fault. In the text that Rick read to us in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24, it gives a similar thought. In verse 24, I called, but you refused. You did that. God says, I stretched out my hand, but no one regarded. You did that. In verse 25, you disdained all my counsel. You did that. You would have none of my rebuke. You did that. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose to fear the Lord. You did that. My bad. My fault. My fault. We see that. So God is who is rich in mercy and rich in grace is reaching out to people with a message of salvation. But in our text, we're going to see that they didn't regard it. God reaches out, he stretches out his hand of that salvation hand, has his people preach a salvation message, but they, in many cases, would not hear. You did that. So in Hosea, we have this same example. I'm not supposed to talk loud.
Calm down.
But Hosea said to Israel, in so many words, you put yourself in the situation you're in. You did that. You're personally responsible. In Hosea 13, these are in your notes. In Hosea 13, verse 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But in me is your help. In chapter 7, verse 2, you or they did not consider in their hearts that I remember, and I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. You did that. In chapter 8, verse 3, the prophet Hosea says, Israel has rejected the good. You did that. In Hosea chapter 8, verse 7, that you sow the wind. You did that. But you're going to reap the whirlwind. You're going to reap more than what you sow. In chapter 10, verse 13, you have plowed wickedness. You did that. You reap iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way. You did that. In chapter 14, verse 1, Hosea continues that same sermon. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. You did that. You did that. In Proverbs 6, verse 27, Solomon asks the question, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Yeah, you're going to do that. And you will reap the consequences. In Romans 6, verse 16, don't you know, when Paul begins a verse like that, he's kind of saying, sit up and take notice. Don't you know, he says, that to whom you present yourselves as servants to obey, you are that one servant whom you obey. You did that. In Galatians 6, verse 7, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You did that. You did that. So our lesson this morning, I'm going to look at four ways that we self-destruct. A warning lesson, not a recommendation, but four ways to spiritually self-destruct. We do this. Number one, our sins. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36, God said, he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. You did that. And all those who hate me love death. Oh, my. In Isaiah 59, beginning of verse 1, says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Not a problem with God. God's a God of salvation. And he says, and neither is God's ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities, you did that. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins, your iniquities, your decisions have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You did that. Of course, the good news is that we don't have to let our sins destroy our spiritual life. There's good news in this message. So you're giving out the warning. So Hosea, who gives all these lessons on you and your wickedness and your rejection, he says in Hosea 13 and verse 9, yeah, you've destroyed yourself, but God says, in me is your help. If there's any resolution to my situation? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Is there any forgiveness? Yes. Is there any redemption possible? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. You don't have to destroy yourself. You don't have to. The good news is we don't have to let our sins destroy our spiritual life. In Ezekiel 18, verse 30, God says, "Therefore I'll judge you, O house of Israel, and I'll judge everyone according to his ways, according to what you did." So then he says, "Repent. Turn from all your transgressions, so that your iniquity will not be your ruin." Oh yeah. Repent. Return to me. Cast away your transgressions. Get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Then he asks a question. Why will you die, O Israel? Good question. He says, repent. Come back to me, God says. God says, I have, still in Ezekiel 18, verse 32, God says, "I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies. Therefore, turn and live." Turn and live. Peter, John said in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, "Repent and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out." You see, there's a good news message in this. You don't have to destroy yourself. Or if you have been destroying yourself, there's a message of redemption, a message of forgiveness, a salvation message, if you'll turn and do that which is right. Number two, we can self-destruct with our words. With our words. It's in Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 35. "Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." All right, now we have a heart message, don't we? But out of the heart, the mouth is going to speak what's in our hearts. So Jesus said, "I say to you that every idle word that men may speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment." Yeah. "For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." Oh, self-destruct through our words. So we need to be careful what we say, don't we? Need to pay attention to our heart, because out of the heart brings forth those issues of life. Idle words. When Jesus says you're going to have to give account of those idle words, these are words that are without foundation in your conclusion that God is not to be obeyed. When you speak against God, that's an idle word. When you say God does not exist, and it's an idle word. When you don't stand up and speak for God, that those are idle words. If you're in your job site or in your recreation or in your home or in your neighborhood, you have that opportunity to let people know to whom you belong and on whose side you stand, and you don't speak the right thing. Those are idle words that causes self-destruction. "By your words you'll be justified or condemned." Wow. So there's two ways to self-destruct. Our sins will cause self-destruction, but there's a message of salvation. And by our words, we'll either be justified or condemned. Number three, pride. Solomon said it this way in Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction. Our pride can cause our self-destruction. I did that. Haughty spirit before a fall. Yeah, I did that. Solomon continues. He doesn't let this topic just go by the wayside. He says it again in chapter 15, verse 25 of Proverbs. "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud." Oh, the proud. Again, Solomon says in Proverbs 29, verse 23, "A man's pride will bring him low, but a humbleness in spirit will retain his honor." Humility. That was in our Bible class this morning for those who were here, remember? Oh, man's pride going to bring him low. Self-destruction through our pride. James said in James chapter 4, verse 6, "God resists the proud." Yeah, we proud. That's me. My bad. I self-destructed. My pride. Pride, you know, by definition, that inflated ego. Ego is not a problem, but it's when it's inflated, it's a problem. It's being high-minded. That excessive self-esteem. That arrogance. That pride of life and pride of attitude or pride of speech that kind of puts others down and puts others below us. Wow. Pride. I don't have this in my notes, but just came to me. I remember a high school teacher was giving a test to his students. 20-question test. The last question on the test was, what is the custodian's name? You're a student in high school. Do you know who the custodian is? Do you know his name? Wow. Pride? Of course, one of the students says, what does that have to do with chemistry? The teacher said it doesn't have anything to do with chemistry. It has to do with life. Pride? I've always remembered that. Do you know the custodian's name? Number four, the last one. Wow. Get us out early. So I'm trying to save my voice. Maybe that's it. Number four, lack of knowledge. Again, back to Hosea chapter 4, verse 5. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Self-destruction. Oh, I just don't want to learn the Bible. I don't want to learn anything about God. Oh, lack of knowledge, self-destruction. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then he continues. God says, because you've rejected knowledge, I reject you. Whose fault is it? And my fault. My bad. I did that to myself. God says, I will reject you because you rejected my knowledge. Wow. My bad. If Satan can keep you from God's word, he's going to keep you from God. And we have abundant exhortation to study the word of God to avoid self-destruction. The Bible gives us warnings and recommendations time and time again. Jesus said it first in John chapter 6, verse 45. He says it's written in the prophets. He says, go back to the Old Testament, even God's messengers and God's preachers back then. He says the prophets said they shall all be taught of God. Oh, we need knowledge, don't we? If I reject knowledge, God rejects me. Whose fault is it? I did that. I know better. May not always do better, but I know better. So Jesus says, every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me. I remember a man named P. Watkins. Years and years ago, about over 50 years ago, he's a Bible class teacher. And he had a phrase, if people would come to know God, they would come to God. Pete Watkins. And that's what Jesus said. Everyone, therefore, that has heard, I've heard enough, some people will say, and has learned, comes to the Father, Jesus said. Not just hearing, we have to learn knowledge. So Jesus commissioned his apostles in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Don't leave anybody out. Why? Because people are destroyed with lack of knowledge. So he sends the first thing that Jesus said. This is my last words before I ascend back to the Father. Preach the gospel to everybody. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bereans, it says, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? What put these people a little bit higher on the chart than the others in Thessalonica? In that, Number one, they receive the word of God with all readiness of mind, and they search the scriptures every day to see whether those things were so. They didn't just accept the word of the apostles, of Paul and Silas. No, yeah, Paul, I know you preached the word here. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I heard it. Oh, but I want to learn too. I'm going to open the scriptures and make sure that what you said is according to the book. Yeah. Knowledge. Hosea said, my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. Self-destruction. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, prove all things. Prove. You hear me preach, but then I want you to prove it. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. You prove it by comparing what I say with what the Word of God says, and they need to match. They need to coincide. They need to work together. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God. Show yourself as a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed because he's rightly divided the word of truth. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Paul tells Timothy, Timothy's already an evangelist. He's one of the troops. But Paul still encourages him to study, to show yourself approved unto God. Study. Apostle gives the warning in Romans chapter 10, beginning of verse 1. He said, brethren, they're already members. Brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God is that they may be saved, those on the outside. I'm praying, God, my heart's desire, this is what I want, my earnest expectation is that they be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. Well, that's a good thing. You have a zeal for God? Well, the hands go up. Count me in. Oh, but then he continues, but not according to knowledge. Oh, I know people like that religiously. They have a zeal for God, but it's not according to God's word. Not according to the right kind of knowledge. Oh, they're gung-ho. Can't get much better in good works. But it's not according to knowledge. Paul writes that. Oh, my heart's desire, my prayer for God is that they might be saved. I bear them witness they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They being unlearned of God's righteousness, they seek to establish their own righteousness. They've not submitted to the righteousness of God. Oh, knowledge. The right kind of knowledge. Knowledge of God's word. The right way. So I've given you four ways to self-destruct. And I said these. It's not a how-to lesson on self-destruction. It's a warning. It's not a recommendation. Paul said, the last thing I want to share with you, I think I put at the bottom of your notes, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning of verse 10. It says, to you who are troubled, I don't know what to do with my sins, I know I'm guilty as charged. To you who are troubled, he says, rest with us. Rest with us. I put it down there. That when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his angels in flaming fire. Last days, last time, judgment day. Jesus is revealed with his angels from heaven in flaming fire. Render vengeance on those who self-destruct, who know two things, who know not the Lord or know not God, and second, who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then he continues with the punishment. Who shall suffer destruction, separation from the presence of God and the glory of his might. I don't want that. These things are important. So don't allow these things to separate you from God. Don't allow your sins. Don't allow your pride. Your words. What was the last? Knowledge. Don't allow those things to separate you from God. God extends a salvation message. It's your choice. You determine whether you're going to self-destruct or accept God's message of salvation. That's the message we preach. It's a warning. It's a warning. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're subject to it, if you've not been baptized for remission of sins, you have that opportunity this morning. If you've heard the good news of God, that God so loved the world, yes, I've heard that, then you'll want to believe that message. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. Don't want that. Jesus continues a third step in coming to God. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus said, except you repent, you'll likewise perish. I don't want to perish either. So I not only just want to hear God's word, I want to believe it, and I want to may have it turn my life around to His way. Then I want to be baptized for remission of sins. So if that's your desire, if that's your resolve this morning, we can answer that. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for us as he makes his way to the front. Dennis is what, number 940. 940. If that's your desire, that's your resolve to respond in a public way, just simply let it be known at the close of the lesson.